You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Marlo Lewis, a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute here in Washington. We want to get his reaction to the announcement from the Environmental Protection Agency on Friday that it will in fact begin regulating so-called greenhouse gases because they say it is a danger to our climate and our overall health. And Marlo, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be with you.
This is something the Bush administration had been very reluctant to do and ultimately did not do through the EPA. Now this was reconsidered. Obama ordered it reconsidered, and to very little surprise, this is the new decision from the EPA. What does this mean in practical terms?
In practical terms, this means that EPA is pushing the start button on a process which, if allowed to run its full course, will impose economy-chilling regulations on the entire United States. What happens in the first instance after this endangerment finding is approved as final, which won't be for a couple of months, EPA will then be required under Section 202 of the Clean Air Act to establish greenhouse gas emission standards for new motor vehicles. That, in turn, will make carbon dioxide a regulated pollutant under the Clean Air Act, and then EPA will have to start to regulate carbon dioxide from stationary sources. In other words, the immediate effect of this will be to regulate what they call mobile sources and only a subset, new motor vehicles. But then EPA will have to regulate carbon dioxide from, for example, buildings, like maybe the building that you're in right now, Greg. Most commercial office buildings of any size emit 250 tons of carbon dioxide a year if they're heated with natural gas or heating oil, and that makes them a major stationary source under the Clean Air Act's Prevention of Significant Deterioration program. So that means that if someone wanted to build such a building, and it could also, in addition to an office building, we're talking about any big box store like a Home Depot or a Walmart or an enclosed mall, an apartment complex, indoor sports arena, any building virtually of any size that's heated with fossil fuels is going to then become a major stationary source of carbon dioxide. And in order to construct such a facility or to modify such a facility, you would have to then get a permit from the EPA. It's called a Prevention of Significant Deterioration, or PSD permit. In order to get that permit, you have to go through a long and tortuous process of figuring out what would constitute best available control technology for your source, and then you'd have to bring your facility into compliance with best available control technology. And on average, these permits cost about $125,000 and take something like 866 burden hours just to do the paperwork. And I'm not talking now about what you'd have to spend on the technology. Right now, the EPA processes about 200 to 300 of these permits a year. Very conservatively estimated, EPA would soon have to process 2,000 to 3,000 a year. I think much more realistically, they'd have to process over 10,000 a year. There would be such a backlog of permitting applications and such horrendous uncertainties as to what can be built, what can be modified, that you could probably bring construction activity in this country to a screeching halt. Now, EPA says, don't worry, it'll never happen. But the reason why they're saying, don't worry, that'll never happen, is they're saying, we don't really have to follow the law. But yes, the law says if you emit 250 tons of a regulated air pollutant, you must obtain a PSD permit before you construct the facility or modify it. EPA says, well, we really don't have to do that because it's unreasonable. No, that's what the law says. And that's just one repercussion of this. Another is that the endangerment finding itself, the finding that greenhouse gas emissions cause or contribute to air pollution, this is the term of art, that may reasonably be anticipated to endanger public health or welfare, that in the first instance would compel EPA to set emission standards for new motor vehicles, but it would also substantively satisfy the test that triggers a national ambient air quality standards rulemaking. In other words, EPA is also directed by the Clean Air Act to establish what are called national ambient air quality standards for any air pollutant determined to endanger public health and welfare if it comes from numerous or diverse mobile or stationary sources. Well, of course, carbon dioxide does come from numerous and diverse mobile and stationary sources. Now, what does that mean? Well, a national ambient air quality standard says you can have this many parts of per million of a substance in the air, but no more. And the entire country has 5 years, or maybe 10 years if EPA grants an extension, to attain the standard. Now, because EPA now argues, and all of the litigation groups that instigated the Massachusetts EPA versus EPA case, which resulted in the endangerment finding, since they all claim that current levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere not only endanger public health and welfare, but harm public health and welfare, that means that this national ambient air quality standard would have to be set lower than current levels. Well, here's the problem. Even the Kyoto Protocol, if it included the United States and was faithfully implemented by all the industrial countries in the world, would only barely slow the increase in carbon dioxide levels over the next several decades. Even if the entire world adopted very strict emission controls, you know, so that China and India finally decided that they were going to restrict their emissions, all we could still do would be to slow the increase. We couldn't actually bring the planet's atmosphere into attainment with a national ambient air quality standard set at the levels that it would logically be set at.
Marlo, unfortunately, we need to call time there. Thank you so much for your time and your insight today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Marlo Lewis is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. This is Dateline Washington.